Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And today we're excited to talk to you all about vegetable gardening. I know it's been a mild winter, John, and I think people are anxious to start their vegetable garden for summertime.
Well, Denise, you know, as we are horticulturists and you kind of use historical data to make recommendations from, this is a wild year. I don't know what to do.
Exactly.
I still think we're going to have some cold, but we're going to, you know, up in the 80s, and, you know, it's like crazy.
Exactly. We're a long way from April 15th, which is our, you know, our day that we usually say about our last frost. But I do know that a lot of folks, you know, we talk about our number one vegetable crop, and I think that if anybody grows vegetables, they're probably more than likely going to grow some tomatoes.
Yeah, I think tomatoes are probably the number one. When you say vegetable, that's what goes, you know, right in people's mind is tomato.
Tomatoes, exactly. And, you know, I think, you know, for us, at least on the Master Gardener side of volunteers, we always get a lot of questions on our help desk as far as in the middle of the season, they have these wonderful, big, beautiful plants, nice green leaves, a lot of nice, you know, branching, flowers, and no fruit.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the number one question that we get every summer.
Right. And of course, with tomatoes, that's pretty common because their pollen grains and everything need to stay in a little bit, you know, higher humidity, a little cooler type situation, and the pollen grains stay more fertile, viable. So you'll get pollination and then you'll get tomatoes. But as we get into the hot part of the summer, those pollen grains dry out and they aren't viable. So the egg doesn't get fertilized, so you don't have fruit produced. And, you know, if you've lived here long, you know that you just do without tomatoes for a few weeks. And then, you know, eventually the vine kicks back in, the rains start to come in, starts getting cloudy, cools off, and then the tomato jumps back into production. But we do have some varieties that do better than others. You know, usually the larger the tomato, the harder it is to get it to produce on a regular basis. So the smaller tomatoes, medium-sized tomatoes, always do much better. You know, diseases are a factor when growing tomatoes. Solanaceae, plants of the Solanaceae family, have lots and lots of disease problems. And so buying varieties that have disease-resistant in them already should save you some time and effort later.
Right, exactly. And then especially knowing what you've had problems in the past with as well, whether that's nematodes or anything else like that, you can kind of opt out and choose things that are resistant to what you're looking for.
Right. Our number one disease is curly top. And curly top is spread by insects usually that come off of weeds. Right. So one of the best things to do is to keep the area around your vegetable garden weed free. You know, especially the London rocket, the wild mustard, that seems to be one of the big ones that carries it. But they've also found it, you know, some of our native plants out in the desert are actually carrying or hosting
the leafhopper.
So, you know, some of the things you can do in the spring is, of course, have some, you know, frost blanket, the real lightweight type spun polyester material you can buy it at. Nurseries online, different things, but you can flip those over the plant. They aren't heavy, so they don't squash the plant down, but you can flip them over the plant and then entirely cover the plant and seal it kind of at the bottom, you know, some rocks or put some dirt on it, and it'll allow the plant to get some warmer temperatures inside so it'll grow better and, you know, doesn't hurt the plant. The only thing it does is tomato flowers need to be shook. So you want to shake the pollen loose so it falls on the female flower, the pistil, and you get fertilization, and you'll end up with a tomato. But if you protect your plant so much that it doesn't move, then you're not going to have tomatoes.
Right.
So there's an old tale around, you know, about whipping your tomato plant. You know, if it didn't produce it, get out and whack it with a broom.
Yeah, of course.
And there's a little truth to it. You don't use a broom because you'll bust the plant up. But shaking that plant during the summer, you know, don't do it right during the middle of the day, but, you know, in the early morning hours or late afternoon when it's cooled down, get out there and shake the plant.
Right.
Shake some of that loose.
And speaking of shaking, we have our wonderful spring winds this year. That's going to give lots of movement to our plants. And I've kind of found that, you know, even staking tomatoes themselves and then putting fabric around the cage itself also helps with wind, and also when those temperatures get a little cold. So it kind of gives you a good, you know, support, physical support for the plant, but also a nice little windbreak, if you will. And then, you know, we always kind of say start taking those off once the plant, you know, starts, you know, flowering and you know, getting warmer. By that time, you know, what happens in El Paso, the winds subside and then the temperatures just spike up every summer.
I've seen people, you know, with the tomato cages, and they'll put a, you know, foot and a half of plastic around the base of the cage and, you know, use your plants not any taller than that at that time. So it does help to protect it against, you know, blowing wind and even sand, you know, dirt blowing in the spring can actually sandblast the plant.
Right.
So having that helps protect it. And then those that are highly engineering mind have the cage set to where they can take a plastic trash can and put over the top of it at night. Only you have to remember to take it off in the morning or roll it up because that plastic bag makes a greenhouse, and a nice sunny spring day, you'll get over 100 degrees in that.
You'll end up cooking your tomato plants.
Stewed tomatoes.
Right. That's definitely
true. And tomatoes do need a little bit of fertilizer as they grow along. They are a high fertilizer using plant, has a lot of growth on, a lot of green, and so you got to keep the plant fed as it grows. And you know, some of them are determinate where they produce, you know, crop of tomatoes on them all over the plant, and then it dies, it doesn't produce anymore.
Right.
And then you have the indeterminate that keeps growing and growing and growing. So those a lot of gardeners use, and you need, you know, to keep it going, so it needs a little fertilizer, and of course it'll fill a cage, so you got to figure out what to do when it's growing out of the top of the cage.
That's very true. And you know, a lot of times it's those water soluble fertilizers that what you need when your vegetable growing. You know, sometimes that, those long-term plastic coated fertilizers may not break down in time enough for the entire season. So it's a couple between that water soluble fertilizer and then a long-term feeding program on there, because the last thing you want is, you know, these plants are growing vigorously and you need to be able to feed them to kind of complete and get their life cycle done. But I think it's important to also look at, you know, the difference. I think that's the main thing, is people don't know really what to look for. So that bush type is going to be your determinant, which is a real up and steady to one yield, and then the continuous growth of the indeterminate. One tomato that I like a lot, you know, I garden a lot with children, my own children. So we always look at cherry tomatoes. And we recently have, for the past few years, been using a mini Roma tomato, and that's the Juliet cultivar. Really heavy producing, heavy yielding plant, but it's a monster. You know, it's almost all cherries are indeterminate, and it just gets away from you. Sometimes I need to prune that guy back so I can still be able to keep it manageable.
Well, I guess you are having a vegetable plant sale.
Yes, we are.
And will that be available?
It sure will, because we've had those. A lot of our tomatoes have been in our demonstration gardens, including the Juliet, and we'll also have the Tycoon tomato. And that one is a really great tomato. It kind of rivals the Celebrity.
That's what we're calling our plant of the week here.
It sure is. And it is definitely resistant to a lot of issues in the field. Yellow leaf curl, verticillium, tomato spotted wilt virus, nematodes. But it, you know, it's covered a lot, and it's a determinant tomato, so it won't get too big. But really what sets it apart is the fruit size. I mean, the tycoons that I've grown in past years, really large fruit, and they'll ripen right on the vine, and I have to harvest them out, but then I need to let them sit on the countertop for a couple of days.
Right.
You know, so the color's good, but I still like the little more tender ripeness.
How's
on
the
it.
Taste?
It's really good.
Tomato taste.
It is a good tomato taste. You know, it has that nice balance of sugar and acidity on there. So We highly encourage it. We like
it a lot. Is a good one to slice and put on top of your hamburger?
It sure is.
All right.
It sure is. And it also in your all your different meals as well, we have a lot of basil that's growing at the for the plant sale as well. So basil and tomatoes do go together. So
if you have a little Italian in your blood, you might use tomatoes a lot in your pasta dishes.
Your cuisine, exactly. So the vegetable plant sale is going to be held on March 25th, that's Saturday, at the Escarate Park Teaching and Demonstration Garden. And we'll be there from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. We'll have different learning stations at the garden itself. So we'll talk a little bit about tomato trenching.
You also have herbs there?
And we will have herbs for sale.
Or herb.
We have herbs. I don't know an herb that'll be there that morning. But we will have some herbs as well, basic culinary herbs that are really popular, basil, oregano, thyme. And don't forget, it may be a little too cold right now, our chili plants. We will have some jalapeno, some wax, and serrano peppers, as well as others out there available. Prices start at $3, and all of those proceeds benefit the Master Gardener educational programs.
What size are those?
We're looking at 4-inch pots, and then some of our herbs are going to be in 6-packs.
They're greenhouse grown, so they need a little protection when you put them in?
Yes, sir. They
harden them off.
They are greenhouse grown. They're all grown by master gardeners. And so they do need a little protection. We are starting to harden those off as well. But, you know, whenever you take something from a greenhouse out into the
buy it at a nursery or greenhouse.
It's the same thing. You know, you go out there, you have a great selection, all those racks of those annuals in the garden centers, and you take it home and
boom.
Takes a weather beating, right?
Right. I was talking to a commercial farmer the other day, and there's a area called the Uvas Valley that's kind of a little bit west of Hatch.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of in a little valley area there. And guys planted chili there in February this year.
Oh, my God.
And the plants are up.
Oh, wow.
I can't even believe that.
Amazing.
Middle of February.
Right.
Planting chili.
Jeez. Well, I don't know what kind of year this is going to be, but
it's going to be a wild one.
It is, right? So we'll see how that tires up. But a lot of plants, you know, you can grow in your vegetable garden that you can also directly sow in your ground. You know, we have a lot of cucumbers or melons.
Right. And you do want to pay attention to soil temperatures. You know, if you can, you can buy soil thermometers at some of the garden centers and online and stuff. And you know, there is a purpose for those things. They aren't just to sell something, but, you know, some of your warm season crops do need a warm soil.
Right.
And so you need to make sure you check the temperatures, you know, 4 to 6 inches deep and make sure they're in that range that's good for optimum seed growth. Because beans and stuff like that, you put it in the ground, they just sit there.
Right.
Or when they come up, they're real yellow and they're just not growing and they just don't like the cold soils.
Right, exactly. So pay attention to not just the air temperature, but also the soil temperature.
Right. Air temperature sometimes will trick you.
Yeah.
And the soil's not as warm as you think. You're right.
Exactly. Well, we're almost out of time at the radio show this morning, but if you have any questions, please call the Master Gardener Help Desk at 771-2354, and we sure enjoyed talking to you about vegetable gardening and hope to see you at the plant sale on the March 25th. I want to thank Evan Walsh for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.